In Crisis. From The Desert Storm. By Blue Sunshine. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of George Lucas. Chapter 2. The chief mechanic on deck lights up with relief when Shmi pushes her way through the growing mass of knights and padawans.
"We need every hand we got. If you can get it flatworthy, it goes," they barked.
"Even all our transports could not take 80,000 people," Shmi replies, following in the chief's shadow as they made their way to the tool depot.
"The Corellian Temple's sending their fleet, and they have larger transports than we do, but far fewer numbers. Half our pilots are being sent just to meet the demand,"
chief replies, ordering a pair of astromechs, a service droid, and one crawler unit to stick with Shmi.
"Hopefully we'll receive some backup once the Senate team gets through the subcommittees, but we can't count on it and we can't wait for it. Politicians take too much criffin time."
Shmi slides on an apron, takes a tool belt, and the crawler unit lifts a crate of common parts.
"Wait!"
Chief grabs her arm and points to two junior mechanics.
"Take them too, they need supervision still, and you're one of the best."
Shmi nods and whistles for the R1 astromech unit to start scanning the vessels on the dock she's been assigned. She approached the two junior mechanics herself. Both of them look overwhelmed by the prospect of what's being asked of them today.
"Come with me, do as I tell you, and worry about nothing else," she tells them, calm but firm.
"But look
at—" "Come with me, do as I tell you, and worry about nothing else," Shmi repeats,
letting her words sink into the air, reaching out with her own certainty as she has done 100 times for new and nervous slaves who were going to get themselves hurt. Both junior mechanics blink and refocus on her.
"Yes, ma'am."
They nod. They get to work.
"The Kulthraid came directly from Jedi to Jedi, which allowed us to respond quickly and freely."
Adigalia, despite her status as knight, briefed the collective of masters assigned to liaise with the Senate regarding the crisis of Rylar IV.
"However, that also means it is our responsibility to present the matter to the Senate and champion the petitions for further response. As much as we can do for a Jedi, there is still much that is beyond our capabilities, and the refugees are going to need far more support than we alone can offer. Now, there are 12 committees and subcommittees to be informed and addressed regarding this incident. Each of you will be assigned a partner and a directive, over which there will be no argument. We do not have time."
She glares over the lot of them.
"Keep your comm links open. Communicate when you have met with success, and do not promise anything to anyone that you cannot personally guarantee. Favors are a dangerous game, and the Jedi are not playing. You're all here because you are considered the most devious and stubborn martyrs the Order has to offer. We need the best and worst of that today. Force be with us."
She'll be made a master long before her first Padawan is knighted, Ben knows. And in this moment he can see why, her presence a blazing corona around her in the Force. But all the respect in the world does not stop him from giving her the stink eye when she assigns him to Qui-Gon Jinn. Qui-Gon merely frowns pensively at the assignment, looking aloof, which could not tell Ben more clearly that he was uncomfortable. They're assigned the task of finding accommodations for all the displaced refugees and head out immediately.
"Would you like to start with the Committee for Interspecies Relations, the Subcommittee for Displaced Persons, or the Office of Population Affairs?" Qui-Gon inquires, attempting to sound polite and instead coming across as slightly condescending. To be fair, the man had been raised among an avian species prior to the temple crash, and pride and vanity were the epitome of cultural traits of most avian species. The behavior was not meant to seem as offensive as it was. Ben mouths "Population Affairs" back to himself in bafflement, and then remembers that there were several 100 systems who petitioned the Republic for assistance in colony propagation, and several boards which existed regarding guidelines for population density and sustainment. Those he has dealt with directly, and the Office of Population Affairs must be their overseer.
"I would rather spin a wheel than climb up and down ladders,"
Ben replies cryptically, earning a frown and an irritated look. "It's a very long walk, getting anywhere in the Senate building, which may have well been its own city."
"Is your disagreement with me entirely due to the fact that I refused to take Obi-Wan Kenobi as my Padawan?"
Qui-Gon finally asks, biting the question out.
"Your reaction seems entirely disproportionate. given that my refusal allowed the boy to become your student.
Ah,
Ben thinks. He's finally dared to ask me directly. Ben knew from personal experience that Qui-Gon Jinn could spend years dancing around to avoid situations he found uncomfortable, though he had no compunction whatsoever about dragging out or diving into the discomfort of others.
My disagreement with you, Ben starts, voice soft and cold and tempering a lifetime of bitterness, has a little to do with the manner in which you publicly and savagely humiliated a child in the course of you refusing him as your Padawan, yes.
Ben inhales deeply and stops walking, turning on Qui-Gon in the empty corridor.
But my real disagreement with you, as you call it, has much more to do with how you have grown utterly inept in accepting the fact that Xanatos Tu Kreon made his own choices.
Qui-Gon reels back as if struck, and then his ice-blue eyes blaze angrily.
That affair is none of your business,
Qui-Gon snarls, drawing himself up into a tower of rage.
You think you are the only master whose Padawan fell?
Ben snarls back, their stances bare inches apart and brimming with tightly contained violence.
Qui-Gon scoffs. If you think pretending to understand when there is no other record, shadows take care of their own, just as healers do, and always have done.
Ben hisses viciously, cutting him off again.
And believe me, Master Jinn, we fall far more often.
Ben is not and was not a shadow, but the path he walked was far closer to theirs than it ever was to Qui-Gon Jinn's. All the high generals of the GAR took steps into the darker halves of themselves and the galaxy and learned things only shadows used to know. Claiming to have walked the path of shadows is just the story he has to tell to be believed. And there was a truth in that statement that so many Jedi simply did not know. Healers fell far more often than any other Jedi. They witnessed too much suffering and failure and tried so hard to save that they reached out and reached for the ability, for the power. And their desperation led them into darkness. And that was true long before the Clone Wars. Anakin's was not the only fall. His was just the one that cut the deepest and never stopped bleeding, and the whole galaxy suffered for it. Dooku, Pong Krell, Depa Bilaba, Asajj Ventress, Quinlan Vos, Barriss Offee. The list went on. Some of them recovered, though never completely, and some of them... Qui-Gon sucks in through his nose and flinches a step back at that.
Your own Padawan!
Qui-Gon's face is ashen, his voice appalled. Ben swallows tightly, eyes burning.
No,
his heart reminds him.
That I couldn't do. And in failing to do, killed him far more cruelly than any strike of the blade and unleashed a monster.
My own Padawan, Ben says anyway to make a point.
Because what is his pain next to the lessons they need to learn? My first Padawan.
So if you think that his actions excuse you of your responsibilities, that your pain makes your cruelty acceptable, then you're wrong, Qui-Gon Jinn. And far closer to following him than you recognize.
If I hadn't brought him to Telos...
Yes,
Ben agrees sharply.
The Council should never have tested his loyalty by forcing him to confront his own father, but it was done and is done. It is not for you to wallow over for the rest of time and to neglect the duty you hold to this order. It was a lesson, Qui-Gon, not a life sentence.
He's still out there,
Qui-Gon whispers hoarsely.
How can I? When he's still out there. When I still dream about the hatred I saw in his eyes for me.
Do you know the greatest lie we were ever taught to believe, Jinn?
Ben asks, not waiting for an answer.
That darkness is inescapable.
Qui-Gon stares at him, stiff and looking trapped.
It is a choice, and it has to be made,
Ben says unequivocally, unforgivingly.
And those who seek it, those who follow that path, they do not take a step and become lost forever. They'd make that choice over and over again to be cruel, to seek power, to hate and spread hatred. They make that choice every day and keep making it, and that is what makes them dark. That is what makes them evil. And that has nothing to do with you.
What would you have me do?
Ching growls. Forget? It was my failure that—
We're not given the luxury of forgetting, Ben snaps, glowering up at the other man.
Not for a single moment of a single day. But you move on. You step forward. And you choose to do better, to have compassion, to show discipline, to guide others into the light.
How?
Qui-Gon shakes his head, sounding defeated, and Ben has no pity because Qui-Gon defeats himself. Take another Padawan learner, Ben says, turning and continuing through the Senate building. They have work to do and no time for such drama. Try a girl this time, Ben suggests.
Girls are strange and difficult, Qui-Gon mutters.
Exactly, Ben retorts.